Hello, everyone. Let me get situated here. I got my notes, all the things. So I want to make sure that we are good to go. Let me tell you about what this call is all about tonight. So this is going to be our, it's called the Hunger Scale and Realistic Planning Call. And what I'm going to do in the beginning is do a little bit of teaching first. And then we are going to do a little bit of maybe some coaching or some live Q&A. Here's how I want everybody to do this. If you have a question, you can put it over in the Q&A if you need me to answer it. If you think it's something that a coach can answer, you can put it in the chat. Coach Betsy is here tonight, so she will be over there working with all you and doing all the things. You also need to make sure that when you decide to type, that you turn on all panelists, or I mean, everyone in meeting. They just changed this. It used to be called something else, but I think it'll say on your, it should say everyone in meeting, or it'll say all panelists and attendees. So make sure that's turned on so that you're not just talking to me and then wondering like, oh my God, that bitch Corinne, she never says anything to me. So you want to make sure you do that. If you're brand new to us, first of all, welcome. The main thing you need to know is no one can see you and no one can hear you. Only people can see and hear me. The only time that anybody can ever be seen or heard is if they're raising their hand and I am actually going to do some coaching. I will call on your name first and then I would promote you. So otherwise, you're good to go. You can be doing your walking around if you're walking or anything. You're definitely not going to bother me. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to talk about the realistic plan and the hunger scale. And the main thing that I want to say is that it does not matter how long you've been inside the membership. I will just tell you, this call is always one of the most beneficial ones we do, because like you will be, you know, doing your four basics, your entire, no BS career here, and you'll forget a few things. And you will start slipping back into old diet mentality and expecting a lot of shoulds and all kinds of bullshit. This call is always really good to help you kind of recalibrate and reset and remember what all of this is about. So I want to start with talking about the hunger scale. And we'll talk about that first. Then I'll talk about realistic planning. So let me tell you a few things that are super important to know about the hunger scale. And if you guys have questions, I'll answer the questions on the hunger scale. So if you have realistic planning questions, save those for the second half, okay? All right. Number one, when it comes to the hunger scale, one of the things that I encourage everyone to do is when you're first starting, pick one side of the hunger scale to focus on first. And just be mindful of the other side, but don't get choked up or hammed up if you can't do it. So there are going to be two types of people. There are going to be people who are more afraid of being hungry. And so they really want to start with identifying hunger first. Getting comfortable with being a little bit hungry. Redefining what hunger is. A lot of you will want to start there because you're tired of being afraid of being hungry and you're tired of eating by the clock and doing all the things. There will be another group of you who know that, like, I can wait for hunger and I'm probably pretty good about waiting for hunger most of the time. My issue is going to be that plus two. Like, stopping eating is really going to be the thing I need to work on. So what I would suggest to you guys is that you put all your energy and focus in the plus two side. You spend the first 30 days learning how to stop eating when you're satisfied, figuring out what those cues are, understanding when you kind of know your cues, but you're talking yourself into eating more. So, like, the first thing I always tell people is when it comes to the hunger scale, some of you may not want to do both at the same time. And let's just say, like, you struggle with both sides. Like, I'm terrified of being hungry and I don't like stopping once I get started. It doesn't matter. Now what you do, here's what I would do. Who has a coin? Flip it. Whatever it lands on, that's the side you start on. We ain't making this shit hard. No sitting around whining. No sitting around thinking you're broken. No sitting around judging and like, I don't know which one's the perfect one, blah, blah, blah. Look, you ain't here to be a perfectionist. You're here to break that bullshit mentality that you're broken or that you need to do it perfectly. That is not how we roll anymore. We are done with that stuff. So what you do is if you don't know which side to start, you literally grab a coin. Heads, it's plus two. Tails, it's negative two. Whatever it lands on, that's what I'm doing. And you do that for 30 days. Now, what a lot of people find out is that when they get really focused on one side, the other side doesn't feel as intimidating to try. Most of the time, they're more intimidated with the hunger scale because they're so freaking freaked out that they're not going to be able to do it, that they don't make a decision and they sit around and act like they don't know their hunger scale because they're actually freaking out about it. They're doing a lot less paying attention than they are doing of the freak out and the overwhelm. So all I want you to do is just like pick a side. Now, if you're like, oh no, like I'm gung-ho grin, like I am your girl. I'm like drinking all the energy drink and ready to get started. If you want to do both, it's fine. There's no right or wrong way to do this. I just want everyone to pick one and be like, okay, this is what I'm doing. That's it. No more drama. No more bullshit. And then you're going to spend the next 30 days paying attention. So everyone, listen to what I just said. I will be paying attention for the next 30 days. This is not what Corinne said. I'm going to figure out the plus two and the negative two, and I'm never going to have a problem with overeats ever again. I'll be perfect. And oh, and the first sign that something goes wrong, I'm going to beat the shit out of myself over it and think that I'm not getting it and that I'll never be able to lose weight. That is not what I said. But that is what like 90% of you are going to try to do. And so tonight, we are going to understand that the drama is bullshit. Stop it. Like that's what you have to tell yourself. Stop it. I am not supposed to unwind every reason why I overeat because I listened to a video. If it was literally that easy, guys, I would be like me, Oprah, Bill Gates, and everybody, we'd be hanging out right now. It's not supposed to end on a dead stop because you listen to a video and because you start paying attention. What's going to happen is for the next month, you're going to notice when you eat past your two and you're going to take notes about it. Why do I think I ate past my two? It could be I was just talking to my husband. I really wasn't paying attention. It could be just tasted fucking good. Like, oh my God, don't you know that's enchiladas? Like, that's why. We just need to know a lot of the reasons why at first without your shitty judgment piled on top. What we want to know is we want to really understand if we're not stopping, why are we not stopping? So that we can look at it and say, like, all right, are there just little things I can do and try the next 30 days to make it easier to stop? That's a lot better than sitting around going, oh my God, I'm not stopping. I must be a loser. How the hell am I ever going to lose weight? That's called a crap question that will lead you to crap answers. What we want to do is we want to think, all right, if I overate because it tastes really good, what are some things that I can do and try over the course of the next 30 days when I eat other things that taste really good that might allow me to stop a little bit sooner? I will promise you guys, when you drop into that mindset, weight loss starts becoming exponentially easier because you start trying lots of things you've never tried before because you're too busy judging yourself. You're too busy quitting and overeating for 3 days over one little overeat past your two. And then you're digging holes for yourself. We're not going to dig holes for ourselves. The whole point of the hunger scale is not like, it's really more about, and I want you guys to think about this. There's no perfect plus two and negative two. I'll be honest, I don't really know if I'm ever at my negative two or plus two. You know what I know? That I think I am. I just think I am. But the process of paying attention forces you to eat less than what your process is, which is paying no attention. Just eating. Just eating like you always have, expecting a different result. Now we're just going to pay attention. We're going to pay attention to the little things that get in our way. We're going to brainstorm ways that we can solve it. And if you don't know ways to solve it, guess what? We got worksheets, cheat sheets, all kinds of things to help you. And you have an entire Facebook group of people. Y'all always wonder, like, come on. Why are the newbies, like, having to suffer being here with all the people that already know shit? That feels terrible. No, it doesn't. Do you want to be in a group full of 1,200 people who don't know what the fucking plus two feels like? Or would you like to be in a group of 8,700 people? The majority of them can tell you 1,001 ways. Not only here's what a plus two feels like, but here's like the 1,000 ways that I tried until I figured it out. Which group would you like to be in? The one where everybody's panicking and don't know shit? Or do you want to be in the group where people know their shit and are like dying to help you? That is why I put you over there with the people who have been through this so that you guys get to work together on your shit. All right. So hunger scale, we're not judging ourselves. We're going to make sure that we pick a side. If you want to do both, it's fine. But if you don't, pick a side. You don't have to do both at the same time. You can do plus two this month, negative two next month. You'll learn tons that way. I guarantee if you just pick a side, you'll still lose weight. The other things I wanted to say is your hunger scale is going to change over time. So for all my girls that have been around a while, they will tell you, and for all of you that have been around a while that need a friendly reminder, as you lose weight, here's how the hunger scale works. You're listening to your body, and your body is telling you what it needs, right? So as you get smaller, you're going to need less. Now, your eyes are going to want more. Your brain is going to want more. Your stuff around like, oh my God, if I eat less, that means other people will be eating and I won't be. So I will have to have conversation while other people are eating. Like for some of you, that will be uncomfortable. Your body is always going to be the one that tells you what to do. Your old habits, your old conditioning, your useless thoughts, all that stuff no longer gets to tell you what to do. We're turning it all over to our body. And I will tell you, in the beginning for some of you, you haven't listened to her in a long time, so you're going to have to turn the volume up, which means that some of the things that I want to tell you about when it comes to practicing the hunger scale that makes it easier are these simple tricks. Number one, plan what we call monk meal once a week. You eat in silence. You don't eat with anybody else. You don't eat with this guy. You don't eat with the news or the soap operas, game shows, HGTV, Food Network, whatever it is you like to eat with. You, Joanna and Chip Gaines are breaking up. We're not having a meal with them anymore. You're going to have what's called a monk meal. And that means you sit in silence and you eat. And I will tell you, it can be very uncomfortable. It also can be very liberating. When I did the 6-day training, so if you're new, I have a 6-month program where women have been working with me and they came to Nashville for 6 days and we did all kinds of stuff. I made them eat a silent lunch all together one day so that they could actually pay attention. If you're struggling with understanding your plus two, a silent meal once a week can really help you understand what you think about why you're eating. And for a lot of you, you'll hear some of the thoughts that play that you usually are eating distractedly that you don't hear. The other thing it will do is you will feel your body in a much different way. So I suggest that you do the monk meal. And then when you eat, you actually put your fork down in between every bite. It's not intended to be entertaining and fun. It's intended to be informative. That's it. That's what that meal is about. So for some of you, I would totally advise you to do that. Eat with your non-dominant hand. That's the best way to slow yourself down so that you actually can pay more attention to your body. Eat about 2 to 3 bites, put your fork down, and then do a body scan. Actually check in with your breathing. Actually check in with your stomach. See if anything has changed. In the beginning, sometimes it's not that easy, but if you do it often enough, you will start noticing changes. One of the biggest signs that I have when I know that there's like my two really big signs when I know I'm done eating are, number one, I get the sigh. I've had the sigh for a long time. It's where I'm eating, and then all of a sudden I go, it means my stomach is actually getting enough food in it to where I need to take a deep breath because I'm either eating fast or there's less room in the end. I know for me over years and years and years that when that happens, I can just stop eating and I'm probably going to be okay for at least 3 to 4 more hours. The other sign for me when it comes to the plus two is I start thinking about other things to do. I literally lose interest in my food. Now, I'm not saying that I want to stop eating, but I'm not focused on the food anymore. I am focused on what I'm going to be doing next. When I lose interest in my food, I almost always will just like, no, that is enough. Every now and then, I might have a lot of stuff going on and I lose interest in my food and I will think, am I done? I'm like, no, I don't think I really am. But I would say 95% of the time, that one works for me. On the negative two side for me, I don't get belly growls hardly ever. I almost always get lethargic. For me, I start thinking I'm hungry and then I notice I'm really tired. For me, that's a negative two. If I wait until like stomach growling hunger, it could be 8 to 9 hours. My stomach just isn't prone to send up belly growls. But I know energy level wise that I am hungry before that happens. Some of you will get stomach growls. Some of you get a little dull headache. And I will tell you, a lot of you will notice a dull headache and stuff at first if you have come from eating all the things. So like if you've started, like, you know, with me, I'm not going to necessarily get a dull headache because I typically eat, you know, salads and sandwiches and lots of fruits and vegetables and like more like normal, real, like whatever God made kind of food. So my blood sugars don't like swing near as much. I get plenty of healthy fats and stuff. If you've been coming from, you know, fast food, pizza, just, you know, ice cream every night, all the things, I'm not bastardizing those foods, but they will, when you start doing this, you'll notice if you wait for hunger, you're probably going to dip a little faster and notice like a headache or something in the initial stages. As you grow through all of this, like one of the things, I don't take any food away from you, but what I do notice is that the people who tend to start losing weight and start feeling better emotionally and stuff, they start wanting to try to eat healthier because they want to feel better physically too. And they were willing to start experimenting with vegetables they may never have been willing to try before, or they may be willing to give up foods because they're like not as attached to them anymore. Now that I'm actually feeling better about myself as a person, I don't need that food anymore to feel like loved or to feel that comfort. I've resolved that with my mental work. So what you may notice is that once the trigger to want to eat those foods, like I need the comfort, I need the stress relief and stuff, is gone, you start examining what you're eating. And a lot of times you're like, oh, like I won't say what the salad train's all about. I see these girls eating a salad sometimes. I'm going to say about salad every now and then, see what happens. So you might notice that stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that you guys knew about the headache thing. And then those of you who aren't real hardcore water drinkers, if you start only eating when you're hungry, if you're not drinking your water, you probably will get headaches because you're dehydrated on top of it. You've probably been eating from dehydration if you stop eating all the time, just to drink water, you know, just to get hydrated and stuff, you're actually going to wait a while for some hunger. You will start getting headaches. The surefire way is to make sure you're drinking plenty of water. If you do that, that will offset a lot of that too. Let's see. Was there anything else I want to talk about in the hunger scale real quick? It takes time. I think the other big thing that I like to cover is that it just takes time. It's not quick. If you've not been listening for a long time, don't expect this to just like turn on like a dime. It just be patient with yourself. You're here. You might as well be patient with yourself. I just want to tell you, if you're going to lose weight for the rest of your life, what's the fucking hurry? Let's just get it right and get it done. The other thing that I wanted to make sure that you guys also knew is that when I was talking about hunger signals, there are physical ones, there are mental ones, and there are emotional hunger signals that come. So if you guys go to module 1, unit 3, that's the very first phase of No BS, we have a hunger scale cheat sheet there, like a chart for you that gives you signals and stuff. It gives you lots of different ways that it'll come and where you can also be exploring your own and like noting. But I will tell you, when it comes to the hunger scale, we will be doing some challenges for you guys. We have weeks where we do hunger scale challenges. We do like how to wait for hunger, how to stop, all that kind of stuff to help you dial this in more. But we need you to get a few weeks underneath your belt here before we do it. We don't do it like all the time. We do it like about once a month, once every 6 weeks, where we have, it's hunger scale challenge week, and we mix it up so that people can recalibrate, reset, dive in and learn. But the first thing I want you to do before we do a challenge, I just want you to understand your own hunger first. So make sure that you are doing that. Now, where do snacks fit into the hunger scale? You plan snacks, but you only eat them if you're hungry. Can you address snacking? Like, I'm not quite at a -2, but it will be hours until I eat. If you're not, like, here's the thing that I try to get people to do. Just save your snack until you're at a -2 in the beginning. Now, if you're like, let's say it's 3 o'clock, you're not hungry, you know you're not eating until 8 o'clock, then if you want to have a little snack, it's fine if it's planned. You can, I mean, it's really just like a judgment call, but nobody is like sitting around here. This is the main thing I want to tell you guys. None of you are overweight because you're really thinking through if you're hungry or not, adding in a small snack and only eating it to satisfy because you know you might not eat for like 4 more hours. Like, that is not a weight loss problem. Right? That is like the deliberate thinking through and planning and stuff is not why we're all overweight. Like, I just planned. I was an over planner and I thought way too much deliberately. No, the problem that we have is that we obsess about stuff and then we eat out of fear that we'll get hungry and we're always doing preemptive overeating. And then we get so pissed at ourselves that we do fuck it eats. That's you, or we're just doing nothing at all. Like, we're just like, I really want to lose weight. I don't know why I won't get off my ass while I'm eating a pizza. Like, you know, so the main thing for you, Tara, is just plan your snacks. If you're hungry, have it. If you're not hungry, really question, like, if it's going to be a long time, okay, this would be a time when I would just eat the snack. If it's not going to be that, if it's only going to be a couple of hours, like, ask yourself, can I make 2 hours? Like, I usually tell myself, like, I said, I just don't snack. I'm like, I think I could go 2 hours. Is it going to be uncomfortable? Maybe. What's the worst that's going to happen, though, that I think about food? Like, that's literally the worst that's going to happen. I'm going to think about food. Now, if you got diabetes or something, that's one thing. But the majority of us, the worst that's going to happen, I'm going to think about food. I'm probably going to have some shady thoughts. When it's time to eat, I'm going to have to be real conscious to not overeat. That's the worst that's going to happen if I don't have this snack. Sometimes it's like just having that conversation is helpful. I'm using a small bowl to try to control my overeating. Is that okay with you? It's fine with me. What is a good way to determine how your hunger cues and signals have changed? I'm going between the same 2 pounds and I'm thinking my +2, -2 are not exactly in sync. I'm following the same cues as 20 pounds ago. Try eating a little less. waiting a little longer and just see what happens. That's one way to explore it. Sam, what I would make sure you're doing, number one, before I ever have anybody tinker with their hunger scale, don't have overeats. A lot of times people want to tinker with the hunger scale and not focus on any overeating they're doing. If you got 30 days of no overeating and you're really just not losing weight, it's just swinging in those 2 pounds. It's like, yeah, like I'm all dialed. Then yeah, like it's time to play with the hunger scale. But if you're wanting to focus on the hunger scale and stuff while you're over here once a week eating like a donk or eating a little bit here, a little bit there, grab assing your way through your days or whatever, clean that up first, because that's probably what's going to fix everything without having to tinker with your hunger scale. Do we wait for -2 for desserts too? Desserts are different. So like if, like for me, like when I plan desserts, I just make sure that I eat a lot less of my dinner, because I'm just going to tell you, I plan dessert, I'm going to want that dessert. And I don't want to run out of room at the end for it either. So I might eat a little petite salad so I can make sure I have my dessert, but I stop at my +2. Do you notice that as you get further down the hunger scale around a -4 or 5, it takes more food to get the +2? It doesn't. That's a myth. I don't know why you're going to -4 and -5 unless you're like, you know, just, you know, I'm like, today I had to skip my meal because of whatever. Your stomach is the size of a fist. It doesn't like have more room because you went to a -4 or -5. It doesn't like suddenly need more. It's not sitting there with a bunch of shit in it. That's just the way it is. So a lot of you think that like I'm more hungry. Usually what happens, I want you to think about this. When you're at a -4 or -5, I want you to think about what you think about it. Most of the time people are thinking, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to stop. This is going to like, I deserve to eat more because like I'm at a -4 or -5. Like we usually just have thoughts about it. Leslie, how do you not get overwhelmed with all the stuff? No BS, podcasts, coaching calls. Is there a good way to schedule it all? Leslie, here's how I would do it. Go back to the quick weight loss quick start. You need to listen to it one more time. In there, I tell you the basics to start, and in there, I tell you not to be on this call. For people that overwhelm, like literally, guys, there's two things you need to focus on. You do the weight loss quick start, and when you click off those buttons, we send you an email that says, now go do the No BS weight loss course. Anything else, like this call, a Facebook Live, any of the other stuff, that's all the extra stuff for later. Are these calls helpful? Only if you are doing the No BS course and you are ready to layer this stuff in. If you are not ready, then what I would do is I would get first really good at scheduling time to listen to the No BS calls, doing those worksheets, and doing your planner each day. That doesn't take much time to do. You do that, and then when you notice, like, oh, I've already listened to the phase one, I'm doing my plan each day, I seem to have extra time, I think I would like to listen to other things, then you just pick something. That's it. Like, you don't, like, there's not, like, this is the one. Or if I don't listen to all of it, no. There are so many things that I offer for a reason. Because I'm trying to meet people where they're at now. So like when I do the All In April stuff, that's for the people who are like, I need a little bit of Corinne every single day. Just pumping my motivational ass up. Like I'm going to do all the other work, but I really could just use something every single day to like focus my ass. So I'm all in on that. A lot of people are like, too much. I don't really give a damn what she has to say every day. So you just throw all that away. Like literally you toss all of it. These calls are optional. They're only for the people who are like, I've been listening to the No BS. Ooh, hunger scale and realistic planning. I had questions about that. think I'm going to listen to that call and see what she had to say, because you've already listened to the other stuff. So that's like the best way to not be overwhelmed is to not try to do it all. The best way to do it is do it exactly like I lay it out for you in the program. You listen to the Weight Loss Quick Start. You follow the email that you get. And if you didn't get your email, run a search on your inbox and look for support@pnptribe.com so that you're getting your email. And then you just go one video at a time through no BS. Anything that doesn't make sense, just ask a question. That's it. You can ask in the Facebook group. You can ask and ask coaches. And if your the Facebook group's too overwhelming, guess what? Don't even take your ass in there. Just go to ask coaches. They will respond to you. It'll be your question with your answer. And that's it. I like to keep things simple, especially when I'm trying to learn something new. So I don't do a lot of live stuff at all. Like, I belong to several courses, and the way that I handle my business is by I take the course and I do every worksheet without excuses. I was just printing off some worksheets from a course I'm in the middle of right now, because I'm like, I gotta get my worksheets done this week. I'm gonna get my worksheets done this week. I have not attended a live call, and that guy's been live every day for 3 weeks now. I don't know what the fuck he's been talking about over there. Not a word. You know why? Because I believe all the information is in the course. I'm going to listen to the course. I'm going to do the worksheets. Anything else is just because I would want to. I hope that helps, Leslie. How can I reframe the thought? I'm so frustrated. I'm already at my negative, my plus two. So Kendall, this is a good question. So what you want to do is you want to ask yourself, so when I feel frustrated, it's because it's not the plus two. I have a thought about that plus two. So typically when people are frustrated, they're at their plus two, it's like, that wasn't enough food. Like, I really wanted to finish this shit. This sucks. I wanted to be able to eat more. That's usually where the frustration comes in, is thoughts like that. Like, I'm going to be hungry later. I just know it. Those are all thoughts. Kendall's like, yes, that's it. How do you know these things, Corinne? Because I used to be the same. So what you want to do is you want to like identify those, actually write them down, Kendall. So in your planner, that blue box that we have on the right-hand side, I want you to write those frustration thoughts there and remind yourself, the only reason why I'm frustrated at a plus two is because I keep thinking these things. What else could I think? So like a good example of like, I'm just going to be fucking hungry later. Like if that's the one, then you just tell yourself, I might be hungry later. I'll finish it then. Like, it's not the end of the world, Kendall. Corinne, it's not the end of the world. I believe the refrigerator will keep it cold. Like, I used to tell myself, well, thank God we live in the modern day age, because now I can refrigerate it and not have to get ptomaine poisoning if I want to have it later. So it's like kind of like joking with yourself. Like when you're frustrated about stopping eating when your body doesn't need anymore, it's like, just look at your thoughts and go like, okay, this is good to know, because this is some horseshit. We could just be really glad that we know our plus two now, because it's going to help us gain weight, or it's going to help us lose weight. And over time, as I lose weight, it will be less frustrating. Drinking my water is really filling me, and I'm finding I'm not hitting plus two at meal times. Any suggestions? I'm not hitting a negative two at mealtime. Just try to not drink water about an hour before dinner. So slow your roll on your water about an hour before dinner, and that will get it out. Your stomach actually processes water pretty fast, so that should do the trick. If I'm losing weight every week, does that mean I'm doing the 2-2 appropriately this time? I would take that as an amazing sign that you're doing it right. I'm wondering if you can address overeats versus unplanned eats. I don't seem to have issues overeating, but I do have issues with an off-plan eat. When you say overeat, can I take it to mean, basically to me, an off-plan eat and overeat are about the same. They're the same in terms of how it's going to affect your weight loss. The only reason why I track them differently is because I like to know, am I just eating too much? Or am I sitting around eating shit because I just want to? Like, I just like to know the difference. So then I know what to work on. So if I know that I'm like, well, I'm really good at like not overeating, but I notice that on the nights I plan a salad, I eat to a plus two with a cheeseburger and some fries. And I'm justifying having that over this healthy, delicious salad that I had planned. That's why I want you tracking it. And then sometimes, like for me, like I'll have a lot, like I'm going to tell you, my habit tracker is usually like 50% all the time because I switch foods all the freaking time. But when I go back and look at it, I'm not subbing like salad for cheeseburger. I'm subbing salad for like, I don't know, chicken and like green beans and cheesy broccoli, like whatever, like some other healthy meal that I would do. But what I like to notice is I like to notice how often I'm switching things so that at the end of the month, I can like notice too, like I seem to like shit on my salad several times a week. I should probably take that as a sign that I'm not really wanting salads anymore. Let's try something else. I did that like during the winter. I noticed I had this one month where like I almost never ate on plan. I was constantly trying to figure out how to eat something. And I finally said, self, maybe you're tired of salads. And I had noticed I'd just been planning salads because I always plan a salad and I just thought I should be eating a salad. And then I switched over to some fucking chili and shit and I had no problem sticking my plan again. So it's like, it's not always a shit show, guys. Like you're not going to track stuff and be like, oh, it must be broken. It's like a lot of times you're going to notice like you're actually doing really good substitutes for yourself and like high five, like, oh my God, I followed my plan 50% this month. But when I looked at all my switches, I'm like the kind of bitch that actually switches for healthy shit now. Who knew? Like you always could have that conversation. I was listening to the Nobius Hunger Scale and you say burping is a sign of going plus past two. But I feel like right before I feel satisfied, I have no feeling of food in my stomach. I burp and feel like I'm done. Is this right? Or am I actually going past my plus two? It just depends, Sarah. Maybe you, like most people when they burp, it is because they've had too much, but you may not be that person. You're really just going to have to test it. You're just going to have to kind of keep like eating and seeing what happens. And then if you notice you're losing weight, that's not a problem for you. But if you notice you're not gaining weight, you may need to stop about, you know, 1 minute prior to when you think you might be going to burp. Like, just track how like fast it takes you to get there and stuff. Is it important to get all the four basics in on the first 30 days? Or if I'm doing three pretty well and need to layer in the fourth, is that detrimental to my efforts? No. Guys, look, there's nothing that's going to be detrimental to your efforts. You know the only thing that's detrimental to your effort? Quitting. You quit, that's pretty detrimental. You layering shit in, being curious, taking it slow, figuring shit out, not detrimental. Do you think I was doing the four basics when I lost my 100 pounds in the beginning? Somebody please, who knows my story. Oh, fuck no. I started doing some water and I went walking. I wasn't even ready to let go of the food yet. But I thought, well, I can water it up and I can go walking each day. That's going to be where I'm going to start. I just had to start doing something for myself. A lot of you, that's what I want your mindset to be like. Stop being so afraid that you're going to do this wrong. Like, stop being so afraid that you're going to fuck it up. Like, do not sit around and do this program with this tape playing. I think I'm going to screw this up. I'm probably doing this wrong. Every single time you think that, you need to give equal airtime to, I can't do it wrong unless I quit. I'm figuring it out. Anything I have a question about, just got to ask a question. That's all that's got to happen here. I don't have to worry about doing it wrong. There's always someone to ask. I can always check things. Seriously. I don't want you guys sitting around thinking that you're doing it wrong or that you're going to fuck this up or something like that. Equal airtime to the possibility that I'll figure it out. There's lots of help around me. I'm going to make mistakes. And that's what this program is all about. Figuring out which mistakes I make routinely and new ways to get better. This program is not based on your perfection. I know you guys have done thousands of diets where the only way to lose the weight was to follow the plan perfectly. And if you didn't follow the plan perfectly, you know, for God's sakes, if you ate a piece of bread, you'd gain 3 pounds. If you did those things, you'd suddenly gain weight or whatever. That is not this program. It does not have tricks in it. It does not have body tomfoolery and all this other stuff. It's literally getting really good at only eating when you're hungry. And in the first 30 days, I want all of you to hear this. Well, every day of your weight loss, but especially the first 30 days, is all about you waiting until you're hungry, looking at when you're satisfied and stuff, and noticing the patterns when you don't do that. Your next 30 days after this will be us discussing more about when you do overeat, what's going on, and how can we start changing some of that. We got to know what your specific things are. They're not going to stop you from losing weight unless you refuse to look at them, unless you quit. The only way I was able to actually lose the weight was I had to figure out the things I wasn't good at doing yet. I had to know what those were so that I could learn strategies to figure out like how to get better at not eating just because I wanted to. How was I going to get better at stopping when it tasted really good? I had to get better at weighing in each week and having a different conversation with myself that didn't lead me to feeling terrible or lead me to overeating. We have to find out all that stuff this month. And the only way all of you are going to find it out is by getting in there and being willing to look at all of it without tearing yourself apart. I promise you the system works. Just like, God, look at the newbies or the girls that are 1 year old this month. We had so many of our April girls saying, it's my 1 year anniversary. Here's how much has changed for me. They all started just like this. They had their first 30 days where they had to figure out what works, what doesn't. What's the stuff that's going to be easy for me? What's the stuff that's not going to be so easy? Stuff that's not so easy, these are the things that I'm going to sit and I'm going to work on next month. Because next month is like, you'll see, we'll take a big shift. Like this month, we're doing a lot of stuff about figuring stuff out, understanding hunger, understanding realistic planning and stuff, setting it up for you to be able to have like the lists of things that aren't working. Because next month's about the thought work. It's not about uncovering skeletons and bullshit. It's about understanding, it's like, oh, I'm not pissed because I have to stop eating. I'm pissed because I have a thought about stopping eating. So when I uncover the things that piss me off, frustrate me, and make me feel bad, then I can start thinking in a way that has compassion and understanding and curiosity, awareness, willingness, determination. I can start generating thinking in that vein, but nobody's ever taught me how to think that way. That's what we're going to do. But I don't teach you how to think that way until I know exactly what you need to be working on to apply all that thinking to. Okay. What about when schedules vary day to day? Therefore, some days I'm hungry and some days not at all. You just do whatever. If you're not hungry, you don't eat. If you're hungry, you eat. Now, I know some of you, like she says, I'm an ER doctor one day on day shift, next day I'm on night shift. What I would do is I would just like really listen to your hunger cues, right? Do what you can. Sometimes what I have my shift workers do is like, so like I'll have, it's not that big of a problem right now with our teachers and stuff, everybody's at home. But let's say you work somewhere where you only get a lunch at a certain time or you only get to eat at a certain time. What I would do is I would just plan to eat at that time knowing that if you're not that hungry, it's just not going to take much to get you there. And that's okay. You being really like deliberate about what you're going to eat during that time and still paying attention to stuff, you're still building the same habits. You're building the habit of thinking about your food. You're building the habit of paying attention. You're building the habit of planning. Like I said, none of us are overweight because we've been planning, deliberate, conscious, paying so much attention to it. It's in our moments when we're not doing that is when we're hosed. Okay, I'm going to move on to the realistic planning. You guys are kind of now asking all kinds of questions that have nothing to do with the hunger scale. Y'all are all talking about anxiety. All right, let's do this. Realistic planning. Here's what I want you to know about the realistic planning. Number one, sometimes when you start realistic planning, weight loss doesn't happen at first. Let me tell you why we do the realistic plan and some nuances. I don't want everybody to go like, what? Well, that's some bullshit. I'm not going to do it then. I really want you to embrace the idea of realistic planning for this reason. It makes you start meeting yourself where you are, and it allows you to practice the skill of committing to doing what you say you will do. If you want to be the kind of person who loses all of your weight, when you lose 25 or 30 pounds and you've got more to lose, you have to be someone who knows how to do what they say they will do. In the early stages, you cannot afford to be the kind of person who is only losing weight because you're forcing yourself to do shit that you really don't want to be doing. You will run out of steam. Because right now, if you're forcing yourself to do shit because you don't want to, it's probably because you're self-loathing. You're so disappointed in how much you weigh. You're so disappointed in all your shit that you got enough yuck to make yourself do these things. And so you lose some weight. And then guess what? Start feeling better. Oh my God. Like sitting here losing the weight, look at me go, blah, blah, blah. And no longer feeling completely crappy about yourself, but because you taught yourself to use that as the way to make yourself follow your plan, you didn't learn real commitment. You learned brute force and willpower. And brute force and willpower rely on self-loathing to get it done. And so when the self-loathing goes away, the ability to commit is gone. Your why for doing your plan is gone. And you start not following your plan. You start loosey-goosey bullshit eating. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Next thing you know, you're gaining weight. You start worrying. You start panicking. And you have to go all the way back until you're fucking rock bottom miserable so that you can brute force and willpower yourself again. We are not losing weight like that. No one loses weight for their life doing that. If that even sounds familiar, it's because you've done it before over and over and over again, and we have to break that habit first. So what the realistic plan does is it says, all right, self, what is it that I've been eating? That's what's going on the plan. First and foremost, 80% of you will totally lose weight, realistically planning anything that you've been eating, but just eating only when you're hungry and learning to stop when you're satisfied. Just applying the hunger scale to all the things you've been eating, the majority of you will still lose weight. A few of you might not. But after a couple of weeks of getting really good at planning every single day, showing up for yourself every single day, learning to pay attention to your hunger scale every day, there's a magic point that happens. You tell, this is what I did because I was the 20%. I had to be realistic first and not lose weight at first. I had to get started and have my long-term best interest in mind that I could figure this out and trade in a couple of weeks of learning how to show up for myself for it. So what happens is if you're really committed, you start wanting your stuff to pay off for you. And you start asking yourself, okay, well, what's realistic for today? Do I really need pizza or could I do a thin crust? I've been doing the meat lovers because that's what I always eat. I think I could get down on a thin crust. We might even throw a vegetable on it. Who knows? Let's just see. You start making the trades. Your realistic plan starts becoming what we call 1% level ups. And you only want to do 1% level ups when you feel motivated to get there. So the first thing I tell you guys is we have to break the habit of should eating. We have to break the diet mentality. You guys stripping away, like, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, stop thinking you can't eat bread and you can't eat anything. I would rather you decide right now. If I love my, like, I will not put something on my plan from fear anymore. I will not take something off my plan from fear anymore. I am willing to figure out how to have a normal relationship with food again. So create a realistic plan. It often, in the beginning, feels way harder than creating a restrictive plan. Your brain is going to light up like a motherfucker with doubt and fear. Some of you might be giddy and excited, but the majority of you, it's a hard pill to swallow to eat the foods that you've been eating unconsciously. And that's the point. I want you planning all of that food because what's been happening in the past is you've been eating it. And the only time you have a consequence is after the fact when you're done eating and you beat yourself up. Now what I want is all the discomfort to happen while you're eating and before. Not a beat down, but like, oh my God, I don't know how the hell I'm going to lose weight eating pizza. Like every day, that's a conversation we got to have before we eat pizza or during we're eating pizza, rather than, I don't know why the fuck I can't ever lose weight. I'm just going to have to give up pizza. And then you never give up pizza. What I would rather you do is figure out, like, oh my God, I don't know if I'm going to be able to lose weight eating this much pizza. Maybe my ass needs to start planning just 3 slices rather than just eating a half a pizza unconscious. Because I said, fuck it. That's a level up. That's starting to build a relationship with food you love and you start eating it responsibly. And you start eating it when you're hungry, you actually enjoy it more because you're including it like a normal person rather than just fuck it eating and not even really paying attention and thinking it's comforting you. Guys, no food is comforting if at the end of the day you beat yourself up over it. That's not comfort. That's just eating until you beat yourself up. And that's the stuff that I want you to do. So we're going to break the habit of the shoulds. We're not putting food on the plan for fear. We're not taking food off the plan out of fear. We're just going to tell ourselves the truth. I'm either putting it on or I'm not. And I'm going to like my reason. I'm not going to deprive myself. If I choose not to have it, no telling myself I'm restricting myself. I'm making a choice today. That's it. Nobody said no. This program doesn't tell me no. If I'm not planning it today, I need to know why I'm really planning this and I'm going to like my reason. I'm ready to see what I'm made of. Could be a great reason. You'll always do your realistic plan. all the way up until that last pound. Your realistic plan just morphs over time. Like for me, a very realistic plan, I do happen to love salads. I eat one almost every day of my life. It's very realistic for me because I do like salads and I've grown to love them and I value my colon health when I eat vegetables. I do not value my colon when I'm not eating vegetables. I do not like having to get a squatty potty going and take like, you know what, to be able to get a dump going. So I want to make sure that like when I think about food now, it's very realistic, but that was born out of all the years of learning how to eat in ways that made sense for me. I taught myself how to do that. So the other thing is I want you to be what's called an 8 or better when you do this. Now, I talk about this inside the program, and I've talked about this for years. All this means is there's a scale of 1 to 10. 1 meaning no, hard no. 10 meaning I am all in, like Flynn. I want you to think about when you make your plan for the day, I want you to ask yourself, am I an 8 or better on doing this? And if I'm not an 8 or better, what do I need to change or add to this to where I can be like, okay, I think I can do this. The realistic plan is not just you being a donkey with your food. A realistic plan means I am like an 8 or better, that this I can follow today. I can do this. And that often means you're challenging yourself just a little. Like if you're used to eating half a pizza, you now say, you know what? 3 slices. I will probably want a half, but I can talk myself off the half ledge with 3. That is how I did all of this. I really just started learning like what I was made of and what I was willing to do. And I went all in on that every step of the way. And what I was made of and what I was willing to do changed over time the more I showed up for myself. That is what this program is all about. Let's see. Is there anything else I wanted to say about that? I think that's everything. So let's see how any other questions you guys have. Did anybody want to come on? I'm going to take one person. There's 2 people with your hands raised. Jessica and Christina Franco, if you actually wanted to come on screen and talk, it has to be about the realistic plan or it has to be about the hunger scale, but leave your hand up if you meant to have your hand up, but sometimes people like butt dial me and I just want to make sure. Let me do this last question. Let me do 2. I am really good at justifying food that isn't on my plan or eating when I am not hungry. How do I stop this pattern of thoughts? You need to look at your justifications and you need to have a counter argument for them. So you really need to do that part. So that just means you're going to need to list your excuses and your justifications so that you can hear them. And then you need to come up with a strategy. The April calendar said 6 p.m. tonight. Betsy, will you check that? Just check it to make sure. Because it's almost like this call is always 5 p.m. Central Time. I want to see what did we do? I'm sorry if that was wrong. It should be 5 p.m. Central. I'm not sure what happened there, Cindy. I'm sorry. But the replay, it will be inside the thing. Betsy is actually doing the replays for us, so she probably can even get the replay up. I don't know if you can get it up tonight, but first thing in the morning, we'll have it up. All right, let's see. I'm really good at justifying food. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you write your excuses down and your justifications, and then you want to make sure that you have a counter argument for them. It cannot be punitive. It has to be easily justifiable to stick to the plan. And you have to have them written and where your food is. I need your help. I follow no sugar and no flour for medical reasons. I feel good and have dumped weight. My binges and all planned eats are sugar and flour. I always feel like shit afterwards physically, I'm sure, if you have to do it for medical reasons, right? I have yet to be able to keep sugar and flour stuff in my home or go buy it without binging on it. It seems like since I'm binging on it always, I should make it part of my realistic plan. What can I do to eat exception foods with sugar and flour without blowing out binges? Cindy, you need to figure, like, first of all, you've got to quit telling yourself you're doing it for medical reasons. You're going to have a bigger reason. That's the first thing that I notice, is a lot of people say, like, do it for medical reasons, except for when I'm binging. Then my medical reasons fly out the window. You need to say, like, it's just like boil it down to, like, I choose no sugar and no flour for these other reasons. I would just make sure that you're really clear with yourself on all the reasons why, because a lot of times people will say that they are like, make sure you understand why you're no sugar, no flour. If it wasn't for the medical, what else would it be? Because, like, I will tell you, like, my niece has explosive diarrhea when she eats flour within 20 minutes. When do you think is the last time she had flour? Not recently. Senior in high school. She's not going to risk shit in her pants in front of everybody. She's a very compelling reason not to eat it. I think for you, it's like, you know, what is this medical reason and is it important enough to you? One of the other things you could do is, you know, Cindy, I would probably go and listen to some of our binge calls. You may need to do like a planned binge, just to kind of see some thoughts around it. You may also want to, what can I do to eat exception foods with sugar and flour without blowing out binges? I think you're going to have more practice with them. And I think one, just really clearing up your reasoning behind it, like really making sure, like, you know, what are the medical reasons and are they compelling enough for you? You may have medical reasons, but they're not compelling. And a lot of times what we all think is that, this is actually a really good topic. I'm really glad you talked about this. So I teach that concept of, like, you need to know your why and you need to know your compelling reason. And I think that that's really important. But a lot of you, what you do is you will come up with some whys and compelling reasons and you think they should be good enough. And you stop thinking about other reasons why. So I think for you, even kind of doing a little bit of figuring out what your reasons are and more so than just medical, and then go through, like, really do a download on every single reason why you're choosing this. Guys, this works whether or not you're no sugar, no flour or not. This also could be for all of you who are like, all right, the reason why I keep not planning bread, the reason why I keep eating the way that I lost weight 15 years ago over and over again and it not working is, like, I've told myself it's because I feel better when I eat this way. Guys, you might for a little bit, but you only feel better because of how you think. You're not feeling better physically, but a lot of times we trick ourselves into that. So I really want you guys to think about, why am I choosing it? What are my reasons for it? List a lot of them so that you make yourself list ones that might not be useful. Sometimes, like, some of you will list things like, because it's the only way I've ever lost weight. That is not a useful way to go about this. You're trying to base your future off of this one way that you thought worked, but it didn't, or you wouldn't have regained your weight. That's why that thought is not helpful. So we'll get into more of that next month for all you newbies. But if you are like, Corinne, is there any way that I could learn this part a little faster? Like, I'm not overwhelmed. Here's what I want to do. Just all of it, girl. Go to phase two once you get done with phase one. You do not have to wait on us to go to phase two. So when you finish phase one, if you're like, I am ready for some freaking thought work, this is why I signed up, I'm ready to dive in, go on to phase two. A lot of this stuff that I talk about, like liking your reasons and all that kind of stuff, we talk more about why that's important in there. Then you can start posting and ask coaches and you can give them what's called models. That's where you start outlining all these thoughts and you find useful thoughts, not useful thoughts. You start trying to make sure that we're having the most useful thoughts possible. Okay. All right, let's do Jessica. I'm going to promote you to panelist. Well, Zoom looks like tonight is going to be taking its sweet ass time again. Hello, Jessica.
Hello.
How can I help thee?
So my question is I've been doing a lot better doing my planning and doing realistic plans. And then when life pops up and something happens that I make a conscious decision not to stick to my plan.
Okay.
For whatever. So the most recent was on Saturday. We made a decision to clean our carpets. So we went and rented a carpet cleaner.
Okay.
And I spent all day cleaning carpets, but we had the kitchen full of all the furniture.
Okay.
So it just would have been really difficult to do.
Okay.
So I made the decision to go off plan, and I was going to mark myself as off plan. I was feeling fine with it. And so I went off plan for dinner, and then later on, whenever I go off plan like that, then I F it eat the rest of the day.
So you're really not okay with it. The first lie we tell ourselves is like, I was okay with it, except I F it ate it later. So I had a thought about it that wasn't helping me. Otherwise, I would just be like, it was totally cool. I'm so glad that I like changed my plan. That was very convenient and the best thing that I could do. Moving on. Was that the conversation you had?
It's more like, I'll have an urge for something. And instead of, instead of thinking in my head, I don't want to mark myself as off plan, the thought is, well, I'm already off plan.
Right. That means that you're not okay with it.
Okay.
Like, I want you to hear that statement that you just said. I'm already off plan. How does that feel? I hear you're part of Troop Fat.
I am part of Troop Fat.
I love these accountability group nicknames. They're just slaying. All right. So tell me about it. How does it feel? So we have an off plan. I'm going to give you off plan eat up here. And what was the thought that I pulled for you?
The thought being that I'm already off plan, so I might as well.
I'm already off plan. And that feels what?
I, in the moment, it feels like, it's like I'm giving myself permission.
It feels permissive. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we eat and the result is, we're supposed to put off up here. I continue off plan eats. It's this thought that's driving all of it. You're telling yourself, and I'm really okay with an off plan eat, except you're not.
Okay.
You need to see that this thought means that you're not okay with it.
Okay.
You probably the big thing you need to do is when you mark the off plan eat, you need to think immediately. Remember when I said, so did you have a conversation like this? Like, thank God I changed my plan. That was a very compassionate thing I did for myself. This is going to totally set me up to be able to continue to lose weight. This is the habits of someone who's like got control over their food and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Did you have that conversation at all?
No, the conversation is more along the lines of, I'm okay with this change because it's not based out of an urge. Like, I'm actually making the I don't feel like it is just stemming from an urge to eat off plan.
So I just want to tell you that I think the conversation that I'm having is very different than that one.
Yes, I would agree with that.
So like when you think about your conversation, I'm okay with this because it's not based in an urge. How does that feel?
It feels
permissive.
Yes. I mean, it feels like, I guess I'm still not necessarily happy with it, only because kind of looking back at my data, I know that those times that I have gone off plan, it kind of spirals from there for me.
It's because you're not generating really good feelings that help you stay on plan in the future. Like when you off plan eat, if the feeling you're generating is like, okay, permissive, that's like the gateway feelings into like urges having a little bit more power than they need. My conversation. So let's just pretend that you're going to drop into my conversation. Like, that was such a compassionate thing to do, Jess. I'm really glad that we made that change. This is what sets me up for my future weight loss. And I'm really learning so much about myself and how much control I have over food. How does that feel?
That feels a lot better.
Yeah. It feels maybe future focused. It like kind of takes your brain in the direction to which we would like to move into. Like, you want to be the kind of person who, when they have an urge or need to change their plan, who is like, I want to be the kind of person that really knows the difference between being permissive and being like, I'm slaying weight loss.
Okay.
And so you need to generate feelings for yourself in the moment. Like, if it truly is like in this situation, I don't think your off plan eat was a problem at all. I think how you talked about it was. And then when you had an urge later, you were already set up feeling very permissive, very like, you know, anything goes. It's so much easier to talk yourself into it when this feeling is driving this, like the boat. But if you had had like a lush conversation and just said, I'm really starting to get the hang of this. When I make these, this is what I did. When I was losing weight, when I would make changes, I'd be like, I am really getting the hang of this. Like, I'm the kind of person who can make a healthy substitution. This is amazing. Like, who knew this would ever happen? I would be motivated and proud. And then later on, when I would want like M&Ms because Chris was eating them, I'd be like, fuck no, we're not having M&Ms. We're like somebody who's changing their life. What are you talking about, self? Like, because I was highly motivated and proud. I wasn't sitting around going, well, I'm already off plan. I hope this doesn't go down the shit road later.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I think that was my struggle, was that I was feeling like the off plan eat wasn't a bad thing. So I was having a hard time identifying kind of where I was going wrong with it, but
yeah, it's not a bad thing, but you for sure didn't make it a good thing either.
Okay.
And I think that you just said it beautifully. It's like, I knew it wasn't a bad thing, but you didn't flip the switch on for how could we make this very empowering? Like, how can we make this a good thing? Cause I watch a lot of you do that. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier, but like, if y'all saw my habit trackers, y'all be like, oh, she teaches us. Like, because like I know the difference between my bullshit And stuff that makes me amazing at keeping my weight off. And I talk to myself like, Kryn, bullshit eating right here. This is the stuff we got to be working on. Like, we need to clean this up this week. We're, you know, here's the things that we're not going to do. This is not you. And it's like, this is the reason why you keep your 100 pounds off. You make switches like this. You do things like this. In my mistakes. And I need to get more of you having those conversations with yourself. And I think that's, I love that you said that. Like, well, I knew it wasn't bad, but it's like, can you blow your own mind and thinking, I could make this something very empowering if I wanted to, so that those urges later don't have power anymore.
All right.
That help?
Thank you. It helped a lot. Thank you.
All right, troop fat. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, guys, I'm going to call it here mainly because like I have got to pee like no one's business. So it's either wet the chair or get out of here. I've been sufficiently hydrating. Y'all have a good one. I will see you guys. As you know, I'm doing the all in April. So I'm doing sometimes Facebook Lives. They will almost always be in the morning. I promise you, I like to do my shit first thing in the morning. So I am not scheduling them because some days I'm wanting to type stuff and some days I'm wanting to go live with you guys, but they will always be in the topics called All In April. They're also in the units. Anything that I do that's live will always be in the Private Member Podcast for you guys. Okay. Excuse me. You can tell I'm drinking a ton of this. I'm burping now and hiccuping. And then I will be doing business coaching on Thursday at 5 p.m. Central Time for you guys. My public Facebook Live will be this Wednesday at 8:30 a.m. That's the public one. Guys, you do not have to attend. I love when you're there, of course, but that is for sure not part of your program, so you do not have to attend that one. And then I will see you also on Saturday at 9 a.m. Central Time for Q&A, open Q&A, anything that you want to ask, and Sunday at 12 p.m. for open coaching, which is where you get to raise your hands just like Jessica did. You get to get coaching. I do usually about an hour and a half to 2 hours every Sunday at noon. That's this week's calls. The other thing I did want to tell you guys is I was going to tell you something else. I forgot. Maybe I didn't have anything else. I think that is it. All right, that is it. Never mind. All right, newbies, welcome. If you didn't get your question answered, just pop it over into Ask Coaches or put it over into the Facebook group. And we will make sure that you get things answered. The coaches are answering questions like crazy right now. All right. That is everything. You guys have a good one. Bye, y'all.